Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Let's roll out the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Now, anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. The blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so hopefully you made it over there yesterday to check out the new one. And if not, swing on by and catch up. There's plenty of time. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at sportstimeradio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at BurkeTime, and Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, all right. So, what is going on today, Dan? I know the NBA is finally firing back up, I believe. And is there anything else exciting going on that I missed?
Not that I can remember. But do the Bulls get underway tonight?
Yes, I actually believe they do play. Give me a second here, and I will see if my internet wants to cooperate. I can quickly pull up the schedule, and we can actually find out who's playing tonight and who's not. But I thought I did see that the Bulls are back. Can you watch the game?
Hopefully.
I mean, do you have a channel to watch it on? It looks like they are playing. They're playing Atlanta tonight, so we will see how that goes. If the schedule pops up, I'll tell you if they're at home. I think they're at home, but I'm not quite sure. Yeah, they are home tonight. There are seven games tonight. We have Cleveland at Detroit, Boston at Brooklyn, that's the first game on TNT, Atlanta at Chicago, Memphis is at Minnesota, Phoenix is at Oklahoma City, Golden State is at Portland, that's the second TNT game, and then Denver is at Sacramento to wrap up the night, because you know there was no way they were going to make the Lakers play and listen to LeBron cry right off the first game after the All-Star break, so he gets off until tomorrow.
Of course.
So, yeah.
Looking.
But, yeah, you know, the Eastern Conference is kind of interesting. You know, the Bulls and the Heat are tied at the top, but then the next, I think it's two teams or three teams, are only 2.5 games behind them. Yeah, it's three teams. And then the sixth-place team, the Boston Celtics, are only 4.5 back. So, you know, you get on one bad losing streak, and, boy, man, you're going to slide down the conference standings. Are you one of the guys who are believing that the Bulls are going to stay up here near the top, or do you see them sliding like a lot of people predict they will?
I see them staying up at the top. I mean, I don't – they really haven't shown – any reason why they wouldn't.
Well, you know, they do have the big injuries. You know, Lonzo Ball is still out. Zach LaVine is playing but hurt, and they're still without Alex Caruso. So they always have that excuse if they want to go with it.
Yeah. I mean, there's that, but, I mean, it's just they've been still going at it. They've still been hitting it. And, I mean, a lot of the other teams in the East are having the same issue.
You know, I mean, like, I've actually heard people who have mentioned that they believe the Bulls are going to finish in seventh or eighth when this is all said and done.
I can see that.
season. I mean, yeah, it would be quite a crash, but I mean, to be fair, they are only, you know, 7 games away from 8th place. So if they do get on a bad streak, they could tumble. You wouldn't, and it's odd because like you listen to people say that, but these are the people who are still saying that, you know, the Phoenix Suns are safe as the number one seed in the West, but they only have a 6.5 game lead. So I guess a half a game in the West equates to better than whatever in the East. That's how it works.
Yep.
So
you know that's part of the reason I can't buy it. They've been playing well.
You know, and I mean, they went into the All-Star break with the second longest winning streak at 5. The only team that was doing better was Phoenix. So,
you know, they've got talent, and even with the guys out, they still have talent, and they still have, you know, the youth that wants to get in there and make a difference too. So, they've been a fun team to watch. I mean, can you really compare them to a team like this? A team that could have won last year. I mean, Milwaukee's not at the top where I thought they'd be. So that I think is more surprising to me. Or do you think that's being factored in?
You know, remember, Milwaukee's one of those teams that's only 2.5 games out. So while they're not at the top, they are right there. You know, I mean, Philadelphia, Cleveland, and Milwaukee are all just 2.5 games back. So, you know, it's not like they're Brooklyn or they're sitting in 8th place or, you know, the Lakers who are back in 9th and actually 21 games behind the Suns. So,
yeah. But, you know, you put it like that, do you think, aside from Milwaukee, that the other teams are going to take them over?
You know, I like Philadelphia. It'll be interesting to see how, like, James Harden fits in. But if they can somehow put that together and mesh that together, I really like them. I mean, I think Joel Embiid is the MVP with the way he's played. I don't think there's a more dominant player in the NBA right now. So, you know, if Harden can just find his niche, and of course Embiid can stay healthy because he has had injury issues throughout his career, I kind of think Philadelphia is the team to beat, but I did hear somebody make a really good case for Miami today. So
yeah.
It looks like it's going to be an interesting – oddly, I also heard somebody call it the second half. You can't really call it the second half when there's only about 20 games left. So maybe the third of 4 parts, so that would have worked better. But, yeah so it's interesting down the stretch. But, yeah, I don't know. You know, like, I kind of figured the Bulls would be a playoff team. I didn't think they would be this good. Of course, nobody thought the Cavaliers would be this good either.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, it's just been one of those kind of odd years. And while I don't see either team winning a championship, you know, they're both going to get in the playoffs. Cleveland wasn't even expected to get in the playoffs. The Bulls were at least expected to get in. It would be nice to see the Bulls manage to win a playoff series, but, you know, if Brooklyn does finish at the bottom and they end up matched up in the first round, you do wonder how the Bulls would do against them. You know, you'd get a healthy Kevin Durant. Apparently it's the vaccination rules are going to be changed and Kyrie will be allowed to play every game, and then if Ben Simmons can add anything to that team, you know, that's a tough matchup. You know, and then obviously out west, the Suns are going to have to do without Chris Paul for 6 to 8 weeks. That's a huge loss.
Yeah.
You know, Golden State is the next team, so you got to think they'll step up. You know, the other teams I don't know, you know, I don't really know about. You know, Memphis is a nice surprise. There's Utah, who's never had much success in the playoffs. You know, Dallas hasn't won a playoff series in quite some time. Denver's hanging around, even though Jamal Murray isn't going to play a game this year. And then, like, you know, the bottom, the play-in teams are the Timberwolves, Clippers, Lakers, and Blazers. I don't really think any of those teams are a threat. So, you know, I mean, you know, if the Lakers get in, which the NBA will probably make sure, they'll get calls. But if they're the 8th seed or 7th seed, do you see them beating a Phoenix or a Golden State in the first round?
No.
Without a lot of help from the officials? Are you calculating it, or what are you trying to figure out?
Yeah. I don't know. You broke up, so I lost what you said. So I thought you
No, I said if the Lakers end up 7 or 8 in the play-in, you know, do you see them beating a Phoenix or a Golden State in the first round without a lot of help from the officials? Of course. So.
No, I mean, that would be the series that Steph Curry, you know, fouls out of every game.
Well, it could happen. You know, I mean, I wouldn't put it past the NBA to allow that to, you know, keep LeBron in the playoffs. You know, I'm sure they've done similar things. So, you know, I mean, I don't know how interesting it would be, but you know, we're going to go down the stretch here and see what happens. You know, we got 20 games to kind of figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. It'll be a fun kind of, I don't know, I think, you know, even though LeBron says that the person who came up with this play-in should be fired, I think it makes it a little bit more exciting because, I mean, let's be honest. I think it throws in a different perspective or odds to maybe having the possibility of that play-in actually beating the first or second seed. And the only reason I say that is because you're going in with different mentality. I would say, you know, number 7 and 8, you're not expected to win. So while you try to fight that could be a mentality that's taken on. But when you're playing into it, you get that momentum, and I think that outlook kind of changes for you. Yeah, we could do this. And it's kind of something the way the wild card in baseball is. You know, we've seen teams, and maybe not even just baseball, but hockey. Let's throw hockey in there. I mean, you know, what Stanley Cup do I remember the most, aside, of course, from the Blackhawk wins, is the Kings. Was it 2014? I mean, they were the 8th seed, and for whatever reason or what, you know, the luck, you know, they just dominated and won the Stanley Cup that year. And it was probably one of the most exciting playoff series that I had watched for a while, you know, throughout the sports. So, you know, I think that added element throws that in there. So, it is all possible that the Lakers could play in, get the 7th seed and beat Golden State, but then again, they could just lose. So,
well, you know, to be fair, LeBron better not complain too much about that play-in, because there's a chance that the Lakers could finish 9th or 10th, and the only reason they would be in the playoffs is because of the play-in. So he better shut his mouth and not bitch too much about it this year. So.
Yeah.
You know, but well, here you go. I'll throw at you what I like to do to Stu on Fridays here. So tomorrow, Stu will get this as well. The Bulls are a 3-point favorite tonight against at home against the Hawks. If you were a betting man, would you take Atlanta in that 3 points, or take the Bulls and give it away?
Take the Bulls. I don't know. I don't know anything about gambling. So.
Well, no, that means the Bulls have been 3 points for you to win.
Oh.
So you still taking the Bulls, or is the game going to be closer than that?
I'm taking the Bulls.
You know, and then the combined score, the line on that is 240.5. Do they go over or under that, both teams combined?
Under.
Oh, okay. You think they're going to be cold coming out of the All-Star break? You know, and the Hawks are a sub 500 team. They're hanging out of that 10th spot, but they're just 28-30. So they could really use a win, but they're not great on the road. They're 11-17, while the Bulls are 23-8 at home. So it does look like a game the Bulls should win. Of course, you know, should and will is always two different things. So we'll have to see how it plays out. But, you know, we, of course, can watch that locally here.
Yes, and my system is – my streaming service is streaming it, so.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. You're all set. And now I didn't hear any news out of today's baseball talks except something about the owners up the yearly salary. I think it was $10,000 per year. For it may have been, I know it was lower tier players. I'm not sure exactly what it was. Have you heard anything or read anything? Because I thought for sure we would get some news, but we haven't gotten anything.
No, we haven't gotten anything. I didn't really read, hear anything. So I think maybe tomorrow will be the day where we'll hear some stuff.
You know, and I get that, you know, obviously the news is dominated by what's going on with, you know, Russia and Ukraine. I understand that.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense. But, you know, they still report on sports. And I thought for sure we would get some kind of report. I mean, they were supposed to meet all day. I did find it kind of humorous, and I don't know if you caught this picture, but they had Max Scherzer getting out of his new Porsche to meet Garrett Cole, who just got out of his new Porsche, so they could help the little guys in the future of the game make more money. So, yeah. That's how. Here you go. I did find an update here. Latest on MLB lockout, and the quote says, "No substantive progress between league and players on Thursday." So there you go. Looks like nothing happened.
Pretty much.
So we're looking at the start of the season being pushed back, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, the caveat for the players or the sucky part is, you know, is Max and Cole going to shell out some money for those guys that aren't getting paid when the season's held back? Or push back?
Yeah, who knows? But, yeah, the league has said that they are going to cancel those games. They're not going to postpone them. So it's just, you know, the report here says that apparently the players' union offered some new proposals on the draft and then service time manipulation. The league apparently did not react well to those, but they do not say what the proposals were. So, you know, with the way the players have been proposing stuff, it could have been completely insane. Just with some of the demands they made have been ridiculous. But, you know, maybe they were, and, you know, I'm sure the owners, you know, loved the service time deal because, you know, all you got to do is send that guy down for a week and you get a whole nother year of arbitration with him. I'm sure they don't want to give that up. The draft, I don't know. The draft in baseball is more or less meaningless, so I don't know what the issue could be there. But those were apparently a couple of the proposals that went nowhere today, and I guess we'll see if tomorrow brings anything because they're supposed to meet then. But, yeah, doesn't look like we're getting anywhere.
You know, put my foil hat on. Is this a great stall tactic to show how the league could be shortened?
Well, you know, it was reported yesterday, and I think I mentioned it to you, that apparently this is part of the players' bargaining plan, is they want to drag this out as long as possible because they don't think the owners want to lose money like they had to do with the COVID season 2 years ago. So they think they'll cave to their demands the longer they can drag this out. So it's a negotiating ploy by the players. Or their union, I should say. The players don't have much to do with it.
Yeah. Well, and, I mean, not only that, the owner losing money, but the showing how they can have a shorter season. You know,
yeah,
that's been one of those things from moving it from 162 down to, I forgot the number, but I don't know.
I think it was 154.
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, I just kind of thinking maybe they were trying that stall tactic for that reason.
Yeah, you know that may be part of it too. But you know, the report I heard yesterday is, you know, this is the deal. You know, they really believe that by stalling, the owners will give in just for the fear of losing money, like what happened with the COVID season.
So, yeah.
You know, I mean, what they also don't realize is they're hurting all those independent contractors who work at the stadium. You know, I mean, there's plenty of people who run parking lots or sell hot dogs or popcorn or whatever that, you know, that's how they make their living, that they're burying these people too. But, you know, as it's made clear, while they say it's for the future players, if anybody believes that, I've got some swampland I want to sell them in Florida, because that's all BS. It's about these guys getting as much money as they can right now. That's all it's about. No matter who's making what, they want more, bottom line. So. You know, that's just how it goes. You know, the players want more, the owners want more, the union wants more, everybody wants more, and, you know, I don't know how you can get more than, you know, 100% out of something, but if you can figure it out, tell me, because I'd like to know. You know, you got an idea? I think we killed Dan. Oh, well.
Yeah, no, I have no idea.
You know, cause, you know, like I asked Stu this question, I think it was a couple weeks ago. If you can figure out how to get more than 100% out of a pie, I would like to know, because I really like pie. So, you know, if that would work out, I would gladly figure out, you know, I would get 100% more of the pie. That would be perfect for me. So, but yeah, I don't get it. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, I can't figure out why they can't come to a, you know, close to a 50-50 agreement, or, you know, you get 51% of this and we get 51% of that. You know, it's unbelievable that these sides that make millions upon millions of dollars can't come to this agreement. So it's literally just ridiculous. You know, and of course the people who really suffer are the fans, because what's the first thing the owners are going to do to make up this lost money, Dan?
Raise ticket prices.
Right, and who buys those tickets? Guys like you. So, you know, it's just ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, what do you, you know, yeah, I mean, do you have any ideas yourself on when we might see an end to this?
Two weeks.
So, and then how long before you think we see the season get pushed back?
A good 10 games, maybe.
You think we're going to lose that, man?
Yeah. Because, you know, even though they don't want to go to spring training, everyone's going to say there's a need for it.
Yeah. So, you know, will we still hear the players complain about that it's too long, even though they really do need it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's, like you said, there's trade-offs, but in this one, it just, you just wonder how far they'll go. But I really think a tactic to try to get the season shortened.
Yeah, it just, you know, it, again, it's just, to me, it's just ridiculous. I, you know, if I don't get games the last day of the month there next year, I'm so done with these idiots, it's not even funny. So. You know, I can't deal with them. It's too much. You know, they're just ridiculous.
Well, I mean, you should know all about this stuff, though, being in union yourself.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get a little bit of, you know, the negotiation aspect, and, you know, but there's definitely ways that they could have worked this out that they're just jerking around, you know. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But yeah, like I said, I didn't hear much today, and it doesn't look like they're making much progress. So I assume, you know, Monday is supposed to be the deadline to push back games. So we'll see.
Well, and even though you said the players' motive is to make the players lose, or the owners lose money, with the other side coming out saying that, you know, they won't get anything either, does that just kind of cancel each other out and leave nothing on the playing field for either one to keep fighting for and maybe actually just sit down and look for a resolution?
Well, you would hope, but, you know, I mean, you know, a lot of players still get paid if there's no games, because remember, it's a lockout, not a strike.
Yeah.
So there, you know, there will be guys who are getting paid. You know, remember it was Blake Snell who took heat because his contract paid him during the COVID deal, while some other guys didn't.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's just one of those. You know, smart negotiating, I guess, on Snell's part is the way you looked at it, but he took a lot of heat not only from the media but from other players as well. And I don't know how it was his fault, but they took it out on him. So, you know, you got to wonder if that happens here. I mean, you know, none of the unsigned free agents obviously are gonna get paid anywhere.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how they react. But I don't know. I don't know enough about the contracts to know. I mean, I'm guessing if the games get canceled, they don't get checks for them, right?
No.
So.
Well, that's supposed to be the whole deal, so.
You know, you have to wonder. But, I mean, obviously, you know, to some of the players, you know, I mean, the Max Scherzers and the Garrett Coles, the guys like that, that's not a big deal. You know, it's the guys down around the minimum that are going to have issues, isn't it?
Yeah.
So,
but
yeah,
how does that
do wonder if it, you know, could it splinter the players' union?
It could, but I don't think that'll change. But how much of this affects the minor league baseball as well?
Actually, it doesn't, because they're not covered by the players' union.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's business as usual for the minor leagues. So I guess, you know, we're going to get a lot of Des Moines Cub game or Iowa Cub games on the Marquee Network, and, you know, the
probably.
What is it, the White Sox or the Charlotte Knights or, you know, whoever they are, we're going to get a lot of probably minor league games to start with. So, you know, maybe we can see some of those journeyman guys who were trying to catch on that are, you know, the Eric Sogards and guys like that still playing AAA.
Yeah.
You know, that'll be exciting. No, I don't know. It's, like I said, it's ridiculous to me. I don't, I don't get it. There's gotta be a way to work this out when we're dealing with millions of dollars, but everybody seems to want a mile and they don't want to give an inch. So, and again, the only people who suffer are the fans. You know, they don't get the sport that they love, and then when they get it back, it costs more money.
And it puts that sour taste in your mouth.
Yeah. So, and now sooner or later, are they going to get to the point where they've just alienated the fans so much that they more or less just kill the sport?
No, I don't think it's gotten to that point yet, but at the end of the day, it's still a kid's game, and the kids aren't totally going to understand that, no matter how many times you and I and their dad throw out there that, these guys only care about the money type deal. So I don't think they'll completely do it, but I think they're going to hurt probably the older fan base.
With the trouble they're having attracting kids to watch the game anyways, they may do it accidentally, mm-hmm. won't they?
So. Yeah. Well, especially if they're striking, locking out, and not playing.
Yeah. Because they complain about, the younger fans having a short attention span. Just what you want to do is not give them a game so they can go find something else to do, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the perfect idea to attract new fans? Go give them something else to do?
Exactly. I mean, baseball is a acquired taste, I guess you say. But, I think sometimes they put too much into the data and focusing on that, and that's where you get that lack of attention span. I mean, there's games that I've watched, while I'm working that are just on. And is my attention span short because I only watched three innings and the Cubs show turned on, so I had to turn that game off. How much of that is accounted for? Having the MLB package, I'm sure they look at that differently. But I'll have on two games at a time, and sometimes one game is just better than the other. Why the hell do I have this other one on, It's 27, Yankees 27, the Rays 3. Why am I going to continue to watch this? And it's only the fifth inning,
The Rays would never get 27 runs, but that's just, because they would switch pitchers every other batter if that happened. You know that.
Yeah.
The thing that always kind of makes me chuckle is, analytics is such a huge part of the game, and,
mm-hmm.
sabermetrics and numbers and all this other stuff. Part of the reason they can't get the younger fan base to stay engaged with the game is because they're out of school and they don't want to do math. They want to watch an entertaining baseball game. They don't want to have to solve a quadratic equation to know what's going on. So, you've got to realize, you've got to know your audience and you've got to make it entertaining for them. What kid wants to go through all that BS of figuring out sabermetrics to watch a baseball game?
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to do batting averages and ERA, but now you've killed both of them because starters don't mean anything and the batting title doesn't either. Because all you focus on is sabermetrics and home runs, and you start talking about launch angle and swing plane. What kid is going to have any interest in that?
I don't have any interest in it. Well, right. I think you literally broke it down to the bare minimum of why sabermetrics isn't the answer and go-to. I think it's definitely something that, front offices are looking at to help kind of focus on players they might want to recruit, scout, whatever. But when you start throwing that, not every fan, like you said, is into that. You're right. How many kids are out of school? you know, those kids are out of school. They don't want to do the math. Why do you and I watch the game? We don't watch the game to do math all day. You worked all night.
Yeah, I deal with numbers all day at work. The last thing I want to do is come home and watch a game and have to deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last thing I want. But, you know, here they are. I got Brian Kenny shoving them down my face, telling them wins and losses. You know, starting pitchers don't mean anything. You know, wins don't mean anything anymore. You know, because you can't go through a lineup three times, because if you face a batter a third time, you know, on that 14th pitch he sees on your third curveball, he's going to take a swing angle of, you know, this many degrees and launch it at this angle. You know, by then I think I'm sitting back in trigonometry class trying to figure out, you know, or algebra, A plus B equals C, and I don't know what the hell you're talking about anymore. You know?
At least it's not geometry.
No, well, they could get there. You know, you'll have to pull out your little, you know, rulers and angles and all that fun stuff. So, you know, I'm sure when they told you in school that, you know, you would use algebra the rest of your life, they didn't mean in Major League Baseball. you know, of course, that's just me, but, you know, what the hell do I know, right? Maybe so, you know, maybe I guess there's people smarter than me. But, yeah, like you said, I mean, if you want to use it to build a team and it builds you a winner, that's great. But the MLB network has to be smart enough to realize that they're not going to attract fans using it. You know, there's no teenager who's going to turn on the MLB network to watch that. I'm sorry.
No, I don't. You know, you had asked me a while ago. I mean, the hottest show for a while was Sensational Talk. And up until, you know, I lost cable, I was watching that, and that was literally the only thing I watched in that show. I was so bad wanted to.
Right. They didn't talk about sabermetrics. Yeah.
Yeah, and I so bad wanted to get into watching. Yeah, and I so bad wanted to get into watching every morning Harold Reynolds and the other guy. But
Matt Fasker.
Yeah, I thought it was Fasker. I couldn't remember. It just turned into –
about it. They don't get into it too much.
Yeah, but I don't know. There was something about them. It just got boring after a while.
Yeah, Fasker isn't super entertaining. You know, Harold really knows his stuff when they let him go and kind of let him talk about the stuff. But, you know, Vaskirjan likes to play, like, they got that stupid soundboard, and they like to play with that. And he gets a little too carried away with it, and it just makes for a poor show. So.
Yeah, but speaking of poor shows, I got to take a break. I'll be back in a few minutes.
All right, well, while Dan's gone, we'll throw a little – football news out here. It's reported today that Eric Bieniemy is going to return as the Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator for next year. You know, the deal is just for 1 year. His contract expired after last year, and there was some discussion that he may not return, but it does look like they've come to an agreement, and he will be back on the Chiefs' sidelines for the 2022 season. Again, it's only the 1 year, so who knows. There was some reports that, you know, he got some college offers. He's never been given the opportunity to be an NFL head coach. He's had some interviews, but it's never clicked. And he did get some college offers. And apparently he was listening to them, and then there was some talk he was considering taking a year off. So we'll have to see how this year goes. I mean, obviously, you know, the Chiefs have one of the most high-profile offenses in the NFL. And while Bieniemy is the offensive coordinator, he doesn't get a ton of credit for it because Andy Reid is still the play caller. And I just don't know if he'll ever get that opportunity because, you know, again, when you look at it, he doesn't call plays. Now, there have been some other guys we'll see. I know the Vikings just hired the Rams offensive coordinator, and I'm drawing a blank on his name, but he didn't call plays either. Sean McVay calls all the plays for the Rams. So, you know, maybe if he has some success this year it possibly opens, you know, opens a door for Bieniemy to have something, you know, because there will be openings next year, of course. You know, and you never know. Maybe Andy Reid just decides to step away. He's been a head coach for a long time, not only in Kansas City, but in Philadelphia. So maybe Bieniemy is the guy who steps up and takes Reid's spot if and when he decides to move on. You know, Bieniemy is just 52 years old, so there's, you know, still time for him to, you know, to find his niche. You know, and again, there's never a guarantee that you're going to be successful when you take over an NFL head coaching job. Maybe he would be better suited for the college game. There are guys who, you know, you look at Nick Saban, who was a complete bust as an NFL coach, but obviously has had great success at the college level. So, you know, it's just one of those things. And, you know, a lot of teams bring in these high-profile college guys. You know, you look at Carolina, who brought in Matt Rhule, and his 2 years there haven't really been successful. But he did have, you know, he was very innovative at the college level. I want to say Baylor had some great success. They brought him in. It just hasn't so far translated to the NFL. So you wonder, you know, what could possibly happen? Maybe Rhule is the guy who goes, and that's the opening for Bieniemy. I am a little surprised, you know, a team like Jacksonville didn't take a shot with him. I know he interviewed with Denver and New Orleans. That was reported, but he didn't get either job. And the New Orleans job was a long shot because it looked like they were going to stay inside and go with Dennis Allen. He had a lot of player support, and even though he didn't have a lot of success in his past head coaching gig, you know, when you've got that kind of player support, it makes sense for them to go that route. And I know there was a lot of complaints because he wasn't African-American. Again, he had the players behind him, and all in all, making your players happy is going to be a big step to continue a positive in the franchise. Will it work out? You don't know. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But you can say that about anybody who just got hired. You know, you just don't know what kind of success they had because, you know, from year to year, the NFL is a very different league. You know, I mean, we just saw the Bengals rise up and go all the way to the Super Bowl. Will we see a team do that again next year? Who knows? You know, it's just kind of how the NFL goes. So, you know, maybe somebody will be more successful than we expect. Maybe somebody who think is supposed to be successful won't be. You know, remember, everybody was willing, you know, ready to push Bill Belichick out the door 2 years ago. Well, the Patriots righted the ship and made the playoffs last year. So, you know, it just depends, you know, it's so year to year in the NFL because you can fix teams very quickly if you have cap space and you have a good draft. So it's, you know, it's difficult to, and I know the media likes to crap on guys. That's their job. And, you know, if somebody has a bad year, they're going to be all over them. But, you know, they could turn around just as quickly and have a good year. So it just kind of depends. But also yesterday, and I know Dan and I didn't get to this, Brian Flores, I was really surprised to see Brian Flores get an NFL job. But not surprised by the team that hired him. It was the Pittsburgh Steelers who brought him in as he's like a defensive assistant and assistant head coach, I think is. Let me see if I can actually find his actual job title. I know he's not a coordinator, but, you know, he's going to Pittsburgh. And obviously, you know, that's a really good landing spot there for him.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it works out. But I was really surprised. Dan, were you surprised to see him get back in the NFL?
No, I think I read that a little while ago, or I don't know, about before he was with Pittsburgh and the head coach's comments on it. I really think it's a good move for Pittsburgh for him, more so, because I think he's going to get more of the experience to put under his belt to be a maybe a better head coach.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, what the Steelers get is obviously a guy who's a very good coach. I mean, he had two out of his three seasons in Miami, they had winning records. And yeah, he's the defensive assistant is all they list him as. I believe he also has the tag of assistant head coach, which a lot of guys get. But yeah, I honestly didn't expect him to get back into the NFL for this coming season. I thought it would take a little while. Or that he might actually have to take a college head coaching job with this lawsuit going on. But, yeah, again, I'm not surprised that it was the Steelers that made the move.
Hmm. So. Well, now, you brought that up, a head coach for a college. It just seems like over the last few years, the transition doesn't always work that well. Do you know, would he be successful in a college platform? Or, you know, how does that, because it seems like they bring some guys who are like the biggest, most popular, who we think are going to be great head coaches in the NFL, and then it's like, nope, that didn't work. They go back and they do great, but they just can't, you know, perform at the national level.
Yeah, you know, it's always difficult to kind of translate, but you would have to think, you know, if Brian Flores is sitting in a kid's living room recruiting him, you got to think that kid is going to listen. I mean, you know, this is a guy who won Super Bowls on the Patriots staff, and then again, you know, had a winning season 2 out of 3 years for Miami. So, you know, that could translate into him being a really good recruiter. You know, it's just one of those things we'll never know. You know, it's always difficult to say how a guy will do from one to the other.
You know, and I don't want to get into the legal part of it, but if what he's saying is true, you know, and you believe his word, I mean, we really don't have anything to go against that. I have a reason not to believe what he said. That's a pushing point and a recruiting point in itself that, you know, this guy is going to do the right thing, so to speak.
Right. Well,
not
that
just
you've got to
push down on him.
You know, I mean, you've got to think that a black head coach who, appears to have run into some racial issues throughout his career is really going to be able to relate to a black athlete and his family, wouldn't he, at the college level? And really be able to kind of understand the struggles these people have had.
Yeah, I guess there's that part of it too. Oh. But I just, you know, I meant more knowing that, you're right. You put that in and you kind of equal it together. But for me too, I think regardless of, you know, the race, when you hear about a guy who isn't willing to just do something for the money. And I guess that's where I was trying to put it to, because you said that he was allegedly offered $100,000 or whatever for, you know, to blow the games essentially, which kind of, you know, popped a bubble in my head. Cause I didn't think that kind of stuff still happened. you know, so it's kind of interesting. But knowing that he did not succumb to that, I think is a good thing. It would definitely help with the recruiting. And I think it'll be something great, you know, something that'll work with Pittsburgh too, regardless, is that you're coming to work as a player and you've got Brian Flores on the opposite end and you know this guy's not going to throw you under the bus for $100,000, you know?
Yeah, definitely. You know, and you do wonder, you know, Mike Tomlin has been the Steelers head coach for a very long time now. You know, it's possible they may have wanted to bring someone like Flores in as the coach in waiting, you know, and keep him on the staff in case, you know, Tomlin decides one day that he's just going to, you know, he's going to retire. You know, I mean, he's been their head coach since 2000. So.
Yeah, well, and I was going to say, I mean, you don't see it that, like, maybe in the old days or whatever, but I don't know. I think you just don't picture Pittsburgh without Tomlin. I don't know how else to put it, you know? Like, so I know you put that out.
Before that, though, you couldn't picture him without Bill Cowher, could you?
No.
You know, so, yeah, it's kind of the way the Steelers do things. I mean, they know how to hire head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something they've been able to do for, as long as I can remember, they went from Chuck Knoll to Bill Cowher to Mike Tomlin.
Wow.
So,
bringing up a guy to have him in waiting now, I guess, you know, insurance policy, so to speak. But my point, I still see Tomlin there for another 10 years. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, I don't know what his future plans are for retirement and whatnot. But I'm like, I still see this. You know, he still looks in really good shape. You know, looks younger than he's probably supposed to be. I guess I just see him for another 10 years. Would Wilson wait that long?
if you look at it, Chuck Knoll was the head coach for 21 seasons in Pittsburgh. Bill Cowher took over. He was there for the next 14. Tomlin is now going on year 15.
Yeah.
So, maybe he goes to 20. Maybe he goes to, five more years. I would assume by then Brian Flores would have another job. You know, he'll probably get another coaching opportunity then. But, you never know. I was talking about Eric Bieniemy while you were gone, and he's never gotten an opportunity. So maybe Flores ends up in that same, that same club where he just doesn't get an opportunity, and then Tomlin walks away and Flores steps in.
Yeah. I think the hard thing with, fans kind of getting into the coaching options and understanding it a little bit more is, they're not like the players. We don't get all the news about them.
Yeah.
Unless it's your local team. So you might know, when you move out west, you might know all about, the entire Seahawks team, coach that. Well, but and that's like my nephew who's, a Titans season ticket holder. He knows everything about that damn team. And, but then when you start talking about other guys, you're like, well, I know a little bit about him, but I think it makes it hard to kind of be on our end of it, so to speak, and understanding how that process works. Because when you find out how many coaches there are on a team, you're like, damn, how do you, I just thought of the defense coach and the offense coach.
Yeah, well, Josh McDaniels left New England, wants to go to Denver. When that didn't work out, New England brought him back and told him basically he would succeed Bill Belichick. And, McDaniels finally gave up and took the Raiders job because it just doesn't look like Belichick is leaving.
No.
So, it's just kind of weird that, and they told him when they brought him back that he would be their next head coach once Belichick, gave up, walked away. And that was, I think, 7 years ago. So, I guess it depends how long you're willing to wait or if the right job offer comes along. And obviously, Josh McDaniels thought the Raiders was it. So, we'll see if it works out for him. And if it doesn't, I wonder if New England would bring him back. They've had great success as the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, well, and I think that's one of the things that makes the NFL with your team, part of the city is a little bit more close-hearted, I guess, to the city is because when you get a team that can land a coach and you only have a team like the Pittsburgh with three head coaches over the last, 50 years or so.
There's just three head coaches since 1959.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? That's still a long stretch. That's a grandpa. That's a grandpa. That's a dad and a son. And the now the great-grandson. So it kind of makes it generational. And, you know, you all, while you cannot see all the players, but, you know, at least you got to be there when Tomlin was the coach, you know.
So, yeah, no, it, you know, and it's been a very successful franchise through all three of those guys. Tomlin hasn't had a losing season the entire 15 years he's been there.
Yeah, and
now,
some of the negative press that.
Now without Ben Roethlisberger, depending on who they get to replace. But, you know, we'll see. You know, obviously he's a good coach.
Well, and I was going to say, you know, with some of the issues, injuries too, that Roethlisberger and then Antonio Brown stuff when he was there, you know, you would have expected them to come out with a losing season that year, and they didn't.
Well, remember, you know, Antonio Brown wasn't full-blown crazy until after he left the Steelers.
Yeah,
he was actually a quality player for them. He went crazy when he left.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just one of those oddities. You know, you wonder if maybe he would have stayed with the Steelers, what his career would have been like.
Yeah, but what's his name was messing up his money, so he had to get out.
Yeah, you know, there was a lot going on there. I understand. He, you know, again, you know, like I've mentioned before with him, I hope he gets the help he needs, and, you know, he doesn't end up being some sad statistic. So,
yeah.
That's all I really, you know, at this point in time, you know, I would guess his NFL career is probably over. And I just hope he saved his money and, you know, he's not in a bad place. So, you know, I don't know if the USFL hire him or if the XFL will hire him. So,
is the XFL ever going to happen?
Yeah, well, they actually just worked out some kind of partnership with the NFL. So.
Oh, wow.
They've got something. Yeah, they got something going on. They're supposed to start next year. So we'll see if they actually get it up and running and get it going.
You know, you know how these things go. You just never kind of know, but we'll see.
And luckily for Vince McMahon, he was able to create a product, almost have a tank, and then still sell it.
Yeah. So to The Rock.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, but it'll be quite interesting. You know, we'll have the USFL going off this year. So it'll be interesting to see how they do. And then, you know, we'll get the XFL and see how they do.
Oh, wait, you weren't kidding. What's the USFL?
No.
I thought you were kidding.
That's the United States Football League. So
what
they start up here, yeah, in April, I think. They just had their draft. They had their draft yesterday or 2 days ago or something, but I guess it's time for you to start your long weekend here, if I can get the music to play for you.
There we go. All right. Here at 5 o'clock. So while we're going, get over to Sports Radio, pick up on that logo that went up yesterday. While you're there, people will just follow over to the Facebook page. Not that you don't know, go ahead and give that a like. But don't forget, we have the title feed, which is on Sports Time Radio. Feel free to look at it. If you're able to come down and listen to it live, well, thanks for doing that. But if you missed out and you still want to listen, all you got to do is head over to the and you can hear it anytime you want.